For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
How are you now? How are you right now? Spoiler season, baby. That's all the Montreal Canadiens have left. Hello and welcome to episode 81 of the Bottom 6 Minutes podcast presented by Habs Eyes and the Prize. I am Matt Drake, and we're here to talk about the first of the home and home against the Detroit Red Wings for the Habs. This one in Detroit. And yeah, it's spoiler season. That's all the Habs have left at this point. You know, obviously well out of the playoff picture, and Detroit very much not out of the playoff picture. As a matter of fact, going into this game, Detroit was in essentially a three-way tie, all right? Washington and Philadelphia have 87 points. They got Pittsburgh nipping at their heels as well. Basically, Detroit needs both of these games. They need the whole home and home to give themselves a shot. And even getting both of those games is not going to guarantee them a playoff spot. So they're in a position where they're obviously going to come out and play extremely hard. Neither of these games are going to be very easy for the Montreal Canadiens. So, you know, I would honestly be happy with just some good efforts in these two games. I don't need them to win. Frankly, losing is better for their lottery position. They're still in the bottom five spot right now, so chance at a top five. Well, very good chance at a top five pick, and a better chance at even winning the lottery and potentially getting that first overall pick, even though it's a slim chance. So realistically, just want to see some good efforts. So we'll take you through the recap. I'll let you know everything that happened in that particular game. But first, as you all know, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. And your Montreal Canadiens, you know, they're starting with against a very hungry team out there. And honestly, the early goings are pretty back and forth. They're kind of feeling each other out a little bit. But then just over 4 minutes in, a certain someone making his NHL debut, it's Lane Hutson, fresh out of Boston University. He gets the puck at the blue line, and he's doing Lane Hutson stuff with it. He walks the line, uses some of that shifty skating and edge work to gain the edge on the right side, shoots across his body, and Brendan Gallagher gets the rebound and puts it home. 1-0 for the Montreal Canadiens. And a big shout-out in order to Brendan Gallagher here, because he graciously allows Lane Hutson to be first in the handshake line to go over to the bench for his first point of his NHL career. And the Habs have a lead against a team that really doesn't want to be down in this game. And shortly after that, Josh Anderson's trying to center the puck. He's coming down on the wing, tries to throw it back into the middle, gets kicked up into the air, and Justin Barron picks it out of the air with his hand, gloves it down, immediately shoots upstairs on Alex Lyon and puts it in. It's 2-0 for the Montreal Canadiens, and the building in Detroit goes dead quiet after that goal. I mean, that place was rocking from the very start of the game. You know, their fans are hungry. Their fans want to see them win these two games and give themselves the best possible chance of some playoff hockey. Detroit hasn't seen playoff hockey in a while, and that is a hockey city. They want it badly, and you could hear a pin drop after Justin Barron put that puck in. But luckily, you know, maybe luckily for the Red Wings anyways, they use that as some kind of motivation, right? Alex DeBrincat gets the puck shortly after that, puts it off the post, but it goes straight to JT Compher on the other side of the net, and he puts it home past Samuel Montembeau, and it's 2-1. We're seeing more urgency in the game of the Detroit Red Wings in the latter half of that period. You know, they clearly know that they need this. It's still a relatively even period, I would argue. The Habs are getting the better chances. Detroit getting more volume on goal, getting more volume in terms of shot attempts, but the Habs are getting the better chances. They're getting to the front of the net where the Detroit Red Wings are not able to get. And the Habs take the 2-1 lead into the second period. Pretty early in the second period, we've got the bottom six of the Montreal Canadiens out there looking for something, and they get it. Jake Evans gains the zone on the wall, perfect feather into the middle for Raphaël Harvey-Pinard. He quickly goes to the forehand, and he beats Alex Lyon and makes it 3-1 for the Montreal Canadiens. Again in this period, Detroit is getting a lot more volume for their shot attempts, but they're not really hitting the net very much. And when they do hit the net, it's from shitty areas. And, you know, Samuel Montembeau, if you give him a really clear line of sight of the puck, he's not gonna let those shots get past them. They're not getting to the high danger areas enough. Same thing that I mentioned for the first period. But their urgency is definitely, you know, climbing as that period goes on. Clearly, I wonder if they looked at the out-of-town scoreboard and saw that Pittsburgh was winning their game, because that's an important one for them to pay attention to. And with 4 minutes to go in the period, things get worse somehow for the Detroit Red Wings, even though their urgency is turned all the way up about as high as it can go. Josh Anderson with a bit of a borderline hit on Lucas Raymond in the defensive zone in the corner. There's no call on it. It probably could have gone for boarding if they wanted it to. It goes the other way, and Arvidsson is down and behind his own net. He banks it off the skate of Jake Evans. It goes right into the slot, and Brendan Gallagher's there, grabs it and puts it home. 4-1 is your score, but wait. The Wings don't go away. We're still late in the period. Patrick Kane with a nice entry pass. David Perron throws it across to JT Compher, and he pots his second of the night. It's 4-2, and that's your score going into the third. We got a big period of hockey coming here for the Detroit Red Wings. They need a bit of a miracle here, and they are clearly desperate when they get into the third period. I thought the sense of urgency that they had in the middle part of that second period was about as high as it could go. They dialed it up even further from there, but they're still missing the net a fair bit, giving Samuel Montembeau clean looks at a lot of their shots, but the chances are flowing, and eventually they break through for one. Alex DeBrincat with an absolute cannon of a shot from the circle that finds its way through traffic and into the net. That makes it 4-3 with around 9 minutes left for them to work. They want that equalizer, but during those 9 minutes, I gotta say, they had a couple of really nice chances. You know, they're starting to get to those danger areas even more, but Samuel Montembeau in net, it's like he just said, all right, ma call is des playoffs pour vous autres, les boys. Ça n'arrive pas, si. And he is stopping everything that they throw at him, man. He's putting on a clinic in net for the Montreal Canadiens. They would get all the way down to the dying minutes. The Red Wings would pull Alex Lyon to get the extra skater. Samuel Montembeau still stonewalling them, but the Habs have tired guys on the ice. Lucas Raymond gets left alone at the side of the net. He gets the puck and beats Montembeau to the far side, tying the game up at 4. Nothing doing from there, and we're going to overtime. And it's a pretty wild overtime. We get chances at both ends. It takes all the way until the final 20 seconds for something to happen. Lane Hutson getting a chance to play in overtime, which is just such a wonderful vote of confidence by Martin St-Louis to give him that shot. And he actually works himself into the slot and gets a really good chance on goal, but he gets stopped by Lyon, and the Wings take it the other way. They get kind of a partial 2-on-1 there. You know, Lane Hutson's coming back, trying to get back into the play. Josh Anderson's back there trying to D up Dylan Larkin. But Larkin has too much space. He's able to find a way to throw it over to the other side to Lucas Raymond. And Raymond beats Montembeau like he did in regulation. And the Wings win 5-4, keeping their playoff hopes alive. I'm not mad about that game in the slightest. That was incredibly entertaining. And that's kind of precisely what I was hoping to see from the Montreal Canadiens, was some entertainment in these final two games and some decent hockey, which I think they provided. I would probably have a bit of an issue with them holding a lead, but we know that's been an issue all season long for them. Two-goal leads are about as safe as diving headfirst into a shark-infested pool with, you know, bloody meat hanging around your neck. Like, you're just asking for it if it's the Montreal Canadiens with a two-goal lead. And, my analogy might have been a little bit clumsy there, but you get my drift. Leads are not very safe with them, specifically not two-goal leads, even though they technically had a three-goal lead for a little bit in that game. But I digress. Overall, I think they were able to at least provide some decent hockey and a very entertaining game, which is kind of all we can really ask for at this juncture in the season. There's one more game left after this, really. We know they're not going to the playoffs. Like, let's just at least have some must-see TV. And so far, they're providing it. A couple of overtime games in a row now. So I think that's worth something. And it's time for the silver lining of the night, which I'm going to go with the obvious choice, Lane Hutson. Listen, this kid had what? One practice, like one morning skate with the team, not even like a full practice, and a couple of meetings. Goes out there, gets the first point of his career on a beautiful play from the point, and is even out there skating in overtime. And he basically played like legitimate top pair minutes in that game. He was skating with David Savard as his partner, and I haven't double-checked at the end of the game there, but by the end of the second, he was right behind Savard for the most minutes on the team at even strength. Martin St-Louis really gave him an opportunity to experience like a top four role in the NHL against a hungry team that really needed a win. That's a welcome to the NHL moment if there ever was one. And I felt like Lane Hutson played quite well. There were some issues. There are some times where he caught himself out of position that led to some chances for the Red Wings. But if positioning is the only issue in his game when he's one game into his career and barely had a chance to even be around the team, let alone really acclimate himself to their system and their way of playing, then I think he's well on his way. And I think that we should be very excited about what he's capable of doing, because we saw some of that dynamic ability with the puck in this game. And I got to tell you, folks, I'm incredibly excited for how good this kid's going to look when he really understands, time and space in the NHL a little bit better. And he also understands where he needs to be on the ice in those situations. Like, he's going to be a heck of a player, and he's going to be, like I said, right, must-see TV. That's what he is. We saw it. You know, game in, game out at Boston University, he was must-see TV. It was any time that I watched a game, he was doing something absolutely ridiculous out there. And the more he gets comfortable, the more he's going to be able to do that at the professional level. And we should be excited. We were talking about it in the EOTP Slack chat, and I think most of us agree at this point. I do not think that kid is going to see any time in Laval. I know that some people are not going to like that, right? The reality is, you know, especially with defensemen, you kind of want to take your time. They take longer to develop than forwards, for instance. Like forwards, a lot of times, you know, they can join the league at 18, 19, and they can have some success, and they can kind of, you know, acclimate themselves a little bit and then get into the role that they're meant to be in. Defensemen, you know, usually you want them to start in Laval, but I mean, did you watch that game? Have you watched this kid in college? I really don't think that he's going to give them much of a choice. I think when they get to camp next season, he's going to prove that he's one of the best six defensemen that they've got, and he's going to start in Montreal, and it's going to be the Lane Hutson show here and there. But we're going to have to be patient with the kid too, because some of those positional issues, you know, they're going to be there. There are going to be some problems with his positioning until and unless he figures it out and gets a little bit more used to the speed of the NHL. But once he does, I don't think we're going to have anything to worry about. Man, this kid is going to be fun to watch. So get excited, folks. He's your silver lining of the night. And we get to see one more game of him as well tomorrow night at the Bell Center. So you know he's going to get a warm welcome from the fans there in Montreal. Outside of Lane, who else could I talk about? I should throw a little bit of praise to David Savard. I think he did a really good job covering some of the positional lapses of Lane Hutson in that game. And that's not an easy role to have, like a really offensive-minded defenseman who's playing his first NHL game thrown as your partner out there. And again, to do so against a team that's really hungry and badly needs the win. So you knew nothing was going to come easy in that game, and they gave him a tough assignment. He did well. So props to David Savard. Once more, I want to give major props to Brendan Gallagher, not only for scoring two goals, and obviously a bit of a resurgence coming from him at the end of the season here, but really that gesture for him to, you know, wave Lane Hutson on first and be like, yeah, I scored the goal, but you're going first to the handshake line at the bench. That's leadership, man. That's taking a young kid under your wing and you know, showing him that he's welcome and really making him part of the team. I think that was just a wonderful thing for Brendan Gallagher to do, and couldn't have more respect for him for that specific thing that he did. Just great. just fantastic. I love seeing stuff like that. Brendan Gallagher had a really good game. Who else? Cole Caulfield, I actually felt, played a really good game in that one. Like, he had some opportunities. He was getting some shots on goal that looked like they had malicious intent. In overtime, I should mention, he pulled off a beautiful deke. I don't know who it was, but he dog-walked one of the defenders for the Detroit Red Wings. Goes in on goal, almost puts it in, and gets tripped by Alex Lyon. Alex Lyon stuck his legs out, did like a two-pad stack, and kicked one of his legs up to trip Cole Caulfield. I don't know why it wasn't called tripping. I'm going to be honest with you guys, I don't really care, because I don't think we really wanted the extra point in that one as Montreal Canadiens fans. But alas, I just wanted to say that to outline how well I felt Cole Caulfield played. He could have ended the game right there, and the penalty that he should have drawn may have ended the game if he didn't end the game with the shot itself. So realistically, you know, great game from Cole Caulfield, probably deserved to have one or two go in for him there. But them's the breaks, right? Almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, not hockey. So, you know, you can almost score as many times as you want. We only care about how many times you actually score, right? Nick Suzuki was surprisingly physical out there. Like, he absolutely laid Lucas Raymond out behind the net at one point. he was taking it like, you know, because Detroit was playing this like it was a playoff game. And Nick Suzuki went, all right, bet. And he was getting physical out there. It was nice to see. Nice to see that little mean streak from the captain. Mike Matheson, I felt like he played, he had some mistakes in that game. In overtime, he was kind of pissing me off a little bit, the way he was carrying the puck, and then, like, he dips out of the offensive zone. He seems like he does it unnecessarily at times, like, he doesn't really need to, but he just takes it out and just kind of regroups in the middle of the ice, which is fine, I guess. Teams always do that, but overall, I felt like he played a good game. Jordan Harris and Johnny Kovacevic as a pair, I really liked them last year, but I felt like they had a kind of a rough game in that one. I don't want to get down on them. I mean, it's a tough out when you got an absolutely desperate team, and everybody on your team knows that you're heading to the golf course pretty soon. So don't want to dump on them too much. So last but not least, for the really good performances in that game, we got to talk about Semyon Montembeault. He was magnificent. I don't charge a single one of those goals to him. Certainly not the overtime one on a 2-on-1 coming that way. I mean, I guess he would probably like to have it back, but, you know, if I'm his teammate, I'm going over to him after that game and I'm saying, hey, man, you gave us every single chance to hold that lead. We should have been better at keeping pucks out of the middle of the ice, because they were really good at keeping pucks out of the middle of the ice earlier on in the game. And then in the third period, all of a sudden, you know, the Royal Road down the middle of the ice just opened up, and the Red Wings are getting all these kinds of chances from the low slot that they were not getting in the rest of the game. Earlier in the game, when the Habs were keeping them a little bit more on the perimeter, they could not score on Samuel Montembeault. All the shots that they had getting through, he's getting square to him, he's getting a good line of sight, and he's making the save, and he's making it easy. So that's the kind of game where if you play that kind of game next season, right, and you're able to, as a coaching staff, I'm talking here, kind of get the group to stop with this, you know, sitting on leads thing that they do, where they kind of go into their shell and they stop doing all of the things that made them successful earlier in the game, that's the kind of game where you end up winning. And I think you end up winning big, right? They had a 4-1 lead. You know, if you can really ratchet up the pressure a little bit and continue keeping them out of those high percentage areas, you walk out of that game with maybe a 7-1, 8-1 win, 8-2, I don't know. But you're going to win that game for sure. I think you're going to win it for sure anyways. It's a thing that's kind of popped up quite a bit this season with them sitting on leads. And, you know, if they can figure it out before next season, they're going to be in a good spot, because they got goaltenders that are giving them a chance to win these games. And they're just not doing enough in front of those goaltenders once they build a lead to actually hold that lead. They're expecting their goaltenders to do everything. And Semyon Montembeault almost did that night. He almost did. But, you know, the more that they do this, the more that they're going to understand that their goaltenders are not always going to be able to close that game out for them. So that being said, I think I'm going to cut this one off, because I got to do this again tomorrow night for the last episode of the season. That one will probably be a little bit longer, but we'll see. We're running a little over 18 minutes. Alors, c'est une soirée pas mal typique pour les employés de soutien. We are on Spotify, Google Play. I'm on Twitter at DrakeMT. Drop me a follow. I would appreciate that very much. This episode was brought to you by BetOnline. Thank you, as always, for listening. And, of course, à la prochaine.